Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by our Director of Mission and Outreach, Tom Infield.
My name is Tom Infield. I am the part-time mission coordinator, mission director here at the church. Now, my wife, Gail, and I have been members of the church since 1992, and we raised our daughters, Allison and Lisa, in the church. In April, Gail and I had the privilege of being part of a 13-member team from Paley Presbyterian Church that traveled to Israel. And we had a chance to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see the actual places where Jesus performed many of his miracles. And as anyone who's been to Israel can testify, the scriptures really come alive when you're in the Holy Land. And the stories of the gospel become as real as the dust in the air. It's really pretty amazing. We had a chance to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and we also had a chance to When Jeff invited members of the church staff to participate in the summer worship service on miracles, I felt called, really, because of our experience in Israel, to be part of that. I have never done a sermon before, except at 7:30, so at my age, this is all very new. As Jeff mentioned in a sermon in June, many of the miracles associated with Jesus, or miracles of Jesus, are associated with water, particularly the Sea of Galilee. And one of my favorite miracle stories, one that has always resonated in my prayer life, is the story of Jesus calming the storm. I love this story on so many levels, and it is obviously very important because it's in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So the best account, in my view, is in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verses 41. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So let's go back a little and look at what led up to this miracle. Jesus had been preaching by the Sea of Galilee day after day. He had been healing the sick and driving out demons. People were coming from every direction to see this miracle man, to bring their sick friends to him, to be healed themselves, just to hear his magnetic words, which were words that no one had ever heard before. The parallel passage in the 8th chapter of Matthew, I think, details some of the miracles that Jesus had performed on this same day, right before the calming of the storm. He had cleansed a leper, he had healed the centurion's dying servant, and he had healed Peter's mother of a fever. The crowds, understandably, were getting desperate, pressing in on. Can you imagine the excitement? You imagine the throngs that were following him everywhere he went, every step. And every day the crowds got bigger and pressed in tighter. The disciples literally must have feared for Jesus' safety. They were fishermen, so they had boats. And they put Jesus on a boat a few yards offshore, and he preached from there. It was the only way for him to get a breath between himself and the crowd. And also, water travels better, or sound travels better over water, so maybe he could even be heard better. By the end of the long day, Jesus was apparently quite exhausted, and he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, the Sea of Galilee is really just a lake, 16 miles long at its longest point. Going across the sea was the only real way for Jesus to get away from the crowds for even a few hours of rest. But you can imagine the crowds, you know, following him a long way around on the shoreline, and he would be a few hours ahead of them before they caught up to him. The boat was probably a lot like this one. We have a picture. This boat is in a museum on the Sea of Galilee. It's, as you can see, reasonably big, but not too big, 27 feet long. And it was exposed during a drought in 1986 when the water level receded and the boat showed up in the mud. And it dates from the first century, from the time of Jesus. So this gives us a very realistic idea of what kind of boat we were talking about. The boat had both a sail and an oars for rowing. So it was literally getting dark when Jesus and his disciples set out. They hadn't gone far when Jesus settled down on pillows in the stern and fell fast asleep. Then, as Mark says, a great storm of wind rose. I found a video clip from the movie called Jesus that I think is very good.
One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And as they were sailing, he fell asleep.
Where is your faith?
So, what lesson should we learn from this dramatic story? As I said, this is my first sermon, but I listened to enough Presbyterian sermons since I was 8 years old to know that a Presbyterian sermon has 3 points, so I have 3 points. Point number one, Jesus is Lord. Point number two, Jesus can calm the storms in our lives. And point number three, even when storms persist, Jesus is with us in the boat. So point number one, Jesus is Lord. Why did the disciples panic? This must have been a doozy of a storm, but four of the 12 original disciples were experienced seafarers. Fishermen, and they must have experienced storms like this before. When I used to read this passage, I imagined that rain, thunder, and lightning accompanied the wind, as in the video. But if you look closely at the scripture mentions only wind. And when we were in Israel, our team in April, we had a chance to ride in a somewhat bigger boat on the Sea of Galilee, a boat like this. Tourists can rent those out, and some of them have pilots who are Christians, and we'll talk about the stories associated with the Sea of Galilee. Our day, when we were out there, was a very placid day, but we learned that wind alone can cause violent storms on the Sea of Galilee. The storms get whipped up, by the big difference between the warm air temperature at the water surface, which is 680 feet below sea level, and the cold air in the surrounding hills, which rise to 2,000 feet, and even a few miles north at Mount Hermon rise several thousand feet. The wind gets, or the air gets funneled down at a rapid speed through those passive mountain passes and kicks up big waves on the water. And it so happens, I don't know if anybody is in this room, we had a team from this church that went to Israel a few years ago and took the same boat that we took, and that evening saw a windstorm kick up on the Sea of Galilee. Jeff, who was on that trip, has described the palm trees as being going completely sideways, and the wind and the houses rattled, and it was apparently quite a storm, exactly like what was depicted in the Bible. So that was very real for the people from our church who were on that trip. As described in the Gospels, most of Jesus' miracles were acts of mercy. When Jesus cured illness or relieved suffering, he was showing the people of his day and us today that God loves us and has compassion for us. But calming the storm, this was something new. This was a different order of magnitude. From the Old Testament onward, the Bible says that only God can control nature. Psalm 89, for instance, reads, "O Lord, God of hosts, who is as mighty as you are, O Lord? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still do." By calming the storm, ruling nature, Jesus showed not just what he could do, but who he was, the Son of God, God incarnate. I love the way the disciples react. Until now, even though they've been with Jesus for weeks, months, they seem barely to understand who he is. And now all of a sudden, their eyes are open and they get it. And more in awe than in questioning, they say to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" So Jesus is Lord. Point number two, Jesus can calm the storms in our lives. Throughout the ages, Christians have clung to this passage of Scripture as a promise that Jesus will calm the storms in our lives. As I said, it is one of my favorites. I long ago committed it to memory, and I call upon it in times when I'm fearful or fretful, anxious. I believe in miracles, not just in the time of Jesus, but still today. Those of us who have been in this church for a relatively long time may remember a story that our former pastor, Dick Streeter, once told from the pulpit. Dick believed in paying attention to what he called Holy Spirit hunches. And one night, Dick awoke in bed with the sense that he should call a man in the congregation or in the community, if I remember right, not somebody who knew, he knew all that well. So Dick called this guy on the phone, and there was no answer. He felt, though, that he should follow through, so he put on his coat, and he went to this man's door, and he knocked on the door, and he said something like, "I don't know why I'm here. Not really sure, but I think God may have told me to come visit you. Can I come in?" And the man said, "Sure, come on in." And apparently they had a perfectly pleasant conversation. Dick put his coat back on and went home. It was only later, sometime later, I think, that he learned that this man had been sitting there with a gun in his hand and planning to kill himself. So I would say that's a miracle. I suspect that most of us who have faith in God have experienced miracles like this in our lives. We have experienced answers to prayer that we cannot explain, except to say that the one true God, the creator of the universe, has reached out to us in a very personal way. Bart Campola, who is the son of evangelist Tony Campola, who we know pretty well in this church, has written about losing his faith. He has said that he will not believe in miracles until he sees God regrow the hand of a man whose hand has been amputated. But I don't think God works that way. Jesus heals, but in my experience, God's miracles are a sign of his love and mercy, not a display of his power. God has no need to show off for us. Non-believers don't always see the miracles that we see. Sometimes, as the Bible says, miracles appear to be for people who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Like the man Dick Streeter visited in the middle of the night, we are touched by God. And how awesome is that? Jesus can calm the storms in our lives. Point number three. Even if storms persist, Jesus is with us in the boat. Another of our former pastors, Jim Churchill, knew a lot about suffering. Jim used to say that you might be able to go through life without suffering, but the odds are not on your side. In our passage of scripture, the disciples fear for their lives and see the raging of the storm as evidence that Jesus has abandoned them. They yell at him through the howling wind, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" They seem to forget that Jesus is with them. After commanding the storm to be quiet, Jesus turns to them in exasperation and says, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they, of all people, should have known better. You can imagine them sitting there feeling ashamed. The promise of Jesus, then as now, is not that trouble will never come to us. We all know, quite sadly, that children are abused, that parents die in car crashes, planes will crash, wars will come. We want to cry out, "Jesus, spare us." Sometimes we are not spared, but even then, especially then, Jesus gives us faith, hope, and courage. He helps us navigate through suffering. He leads us to the other side. Remember his final words before he ascended into heaven. "Lo, I am with you always." Even if storms persist, Jesus is with us in the boat. To wrap this up, it's worth noting the words that Jesus used in commanding the storm. "Peace, be still." I think Jesus was talking to us also. If we remember our three points, that Jesus is Lord, that he can calm the storms in our lives, and that he's with us in the boat, we have nothing to fear, no matter the circumstances. God is in charge, so peace, be still. Amen.